Season 9, Episode 5. It is all too human. Why prosecute? And a warning, this episode refers to gruesome injuries and a fatality. We advise listener discretion as always. Degloved and prosecuted, why pursue an employee whose judgment lapsed? And why? They are already in a world of pain from a gruesome injury at the workplace. The podcasters Alan, Trage and Sarah review a case of a work whose hand was degloved by a meat-grinding auger. The podcasters also explore a recreational indoor climbing activity that ended in disaster and a school prank that could have caused more pain than the char-grilled science room wall it created. All work-related. Listen in.
Bring it on, the kaleidoscope.
And welcome to the Why Work podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trage Svetkovsky and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
Trage, there was a decision made in July, so that's very close to now.
Yeah.
Which was of interest to me. And just by way of introduction, I'm always struggling, and I'll probably go to my grave struggling, understanding why governments prosecute. Prosecutions are expensive. It costs the taxpayer a lot of money to prosecute. And you really should only spend that taxpayer's money if you're producing some public good.
Interesting.
And I do understand that, you know, from a general deterrence perspective, it may be justified in spending the money to create that general deterrence and get people to comply with safety legislation. But when it comes to prosecution of workers, it accentuates the issue. You know, why do governments prosecute? Because
prosecute the worker, not the workplace.
The worker, yeah.
Right.
The worker. Now, when you prosecute organisations, you might get a very large fine, or prosecute executives, you might get a jail sentence, and then that's going to send some sort of deterrent message.
And there's a large sphere of influence because that sets precedent, so lots of industry groups understand that, as opposed to an individual worker. Right, okay, keep going.
So if you prosecute a mine, then the other mines who
pay attention.
Attention, they say, well, how did that happen? But when you prosecute a worker, it's unlikely to have that same effect. And so I do question, why do we prosecute workers? Because it's very expensive, as I said. And
in what context?
If you were to get a private sector organisation to do the prosecutions, you might spend $50,000 to $100,000 a prosecution. So you do have to ask, well, what's the bang we get for our buck when we do that? So, and the other thing that accentuates that is we're getting more prosecution of workers in Queensland than any other state, and being our hometown, you know, that makes us pay more attention under the governance of the current Work Health and Safety Prosecutor. Now, this decision, it's about an abattoir, and it's about the use of an auger in the abattoir. So an auger is like a screw-in inside a pipe where you throw things in, and that's a good mechanism to transport something from one spot to another. And in the abattoir, they were throwing animal bits into the auger, which would shift it from one spot to another, and maybe break it up while it was being shifted to one spot to another.
They've seen them in road construction, like little spirals.
Augers for lots of things.
But manufacturing. But it sounds like ogre. So you're throwing it into the jaws of the ogre, right?
and they're very dangerous. But now, what happened in this particular abattoir, Darling Downs Abattoir, is that a worker had been using the auger, and he had taken off the cover to the auger and had them been subsequently trained, 48-year-old worker, so mature-aged worker, and he'd been trained not to do that, and there was in fact a padlock for the auger's lid to stop people lifting it up. But there was a second time, and this worker, who's named in the media articles, he lifted up the cover again. There was some material that was stuck in the auger, and he put his hand in to try and clear it.
Mm.
And then his finger was caught, and it was degloved. And degloved means the skin was pulled off.
Oh.
Normally completely.
And it's funny because you might consciously know you shouldn't do that, but in the moment it's instinctive. Oh, that's stuck, let me grab it, right? Possibly. And that's the type of thing that, unless you can have theoretical training, but then you have habitual or scenario-based training and something that's more high impact, like a virtual reality, extended reality experience, to really have some memorable impact, you might instinctively do the wrong thing, right? Mm. Oops.
Well, when you're asking this question of why do we prosecute, here's a worker who's had his finger degloved.
Yes.
Mm. And you say, well, why would you prosecute him? He's suffered a degloving.
Hang on. He's been prosecuted.
He's been prosecuted.
I don't understand this at all. I'm confused, Alan.
At a theoretical level, I can understand it. He's done something that he knew was dangerous, and he continued to do it. But at a practical level, what are you prosecuting for?
A human behaviour. How many times have you done something silly and you've been in autopilot mode and then go, oh, wait, what?
Can I say, just get back, I was listening, but now the gravity of what you're telling me is sinking in. So it's the Queensland decision.
Mm.
In all my experience, I have never, ever, ever heard of
the injured worker.
The poor worker who was
being
injured.
Prosecuted.
A colleague of mine used to use a very technical term. So the thing is, why would you now? I really have to process this.
He didn't do anything like intentional to cause harm to others,
so,
right?
I'm presuming you couldn't guard
malintent.
The I'm presuming there's nothing mechanical or physical which could stop one from getting harmed.
It's not like doing an a new employee is being oriented and you've done something harmful to them. That we've talked about those cases.
I have prosecuted a worker, but that worker injured another worker.
Yeah.
As a bit of a practical joke.
That's what I mean. That's the example.
I actually said go to the police. That's a common assault. So we did a Section 28, which is the Work Health and Safety's duty code. But I must say, hand on heart, I have never, ever, ever heard of that type of action.
An accident of no bad.
No, you've harmed yourself and then you're going to get smashed by the prosecutor.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it goes further. And that's what makes this case interesting, because this trend has been going on for some time now.
Has it?
Now, it went before the magistrate, and the magistrate said, prosecution of workers, yes, in Queensland, yes, it's definitely.
But no, prosecution of workers, worker who got himself injured.
This one's a bit more extreme.
Righto.
And, but that's what happens when you have a trend. Now, the worker pleaded guilty.
Oh,
and
poor fellow.
Yeah, because he obviously wanted to get it over and done with. Now, magistrates, more often than not, on hearing a plea, they will just sentence. But this magistrate, Toowoomba magistrate.
Yes. Another place well.
Phillipson. who I don't know personally, but she questioned. She said, "Why am I looking at this prosecution? Is it happening?"
Her Honour,
Her Honour said,
"Why am I seeing this?
So
why is this coming before me?
Why is this on my desk and under my nose? What the heck?
Yeah,
right?
Why are you prosecuting?"
So Her Honour was curious.
I think she was a bit more than curious.
Right.
I mean that in a very sarcastic way.
Anyway, she was confronted in this difficult situation where he's been charged, mm-hmm. he's pleading guilty, mm-hmm. and she ended up sentencing him. Then no conviction was recorded.
They're fine, but it's the mechanism. It's the injured worker who's degloved and now being, by the Crown... So the full force of the law being now punished.
So if we circle back to where I started and said...
I'm intrigued.
If general deterrence is one of the big reasons why governments prosecute,
yes.
What is a zero fine zero conviction recorded
yeah.
of a worker, what message is
What's
that
going to send?
Well, we know it's not specific deterrence because this
well, fellow... you don't need it. You don't need specific exactly. deterrence.
So yeah. this is general. This is for the community. This is the community messaging general. So for all of us, beware. Beware of what?
Yeah,
yeah, you don't fine and no conviction.
Don't accidentally harm yourself.
Yeah, don't accidentally harm yourself because you won't get much of a fine if you do, but you will be prosecuted.
And it'll be embarrassing and a pain in the butt, but it does nothing. Yeah, what?
Wow. Yes, yes. Wow. It's, sorry, Alan, I misunderstood before. I thought you meant, you've said this before about trends. I thought you meant, more and more Section 28s, meaning the workers yes. being prosecuted. I didn't realise you meant the worker who was, to quote my friend, was prosecuted.
Well, it does make sense to me.
Wow.
When you've got a larger organisation and you prosecute the larger organisation, you can be, as a government entity, hoping to improve safety
yeah,
standards.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I tell you about a case.
And, yeah.
A deterrent, as you said, and a motivator to make change.
Both
yeah.
specific
right?
and general.
Yeah. Now, Sarah, you're going to say something, because I want to piggyback onto Alan's story about an actual prosecution.
I want a cost... on all of the effort that went into that.
Well, if I was the minister, I'd be asking for a costing. I'd be wanting to know, well, what's, you know, I'm paying a lot of money here so that I could apply to other programs.
Did,
what
yes. am
I
getting did this make the media, or was this just like a little alert?
No, it was in the media. That's
right.
That's how I know of it.
No, fair enough. That's what I'm asking. It should be in the media. I'm curious.
And the end result, it just got...
We got prosecuted.
And look, I want to be clear that I struggle with it, and I could be persuaded that it was appropriate, but I really struggled. I think this is a difficult one to understand.
Yeah, of course, there are always going to be facts, and there's going to be circumstances. There could be something aggravating.
Yeah, we don't know the whole story.
But the fact is the injured person. So I guess I'm going to flip this and say, would they have prosecuted had the person died?
Or lost their finger completely.
Or lost their finger completely. All right, I won't be as dramatic.
Or lost their arm.
Lost their arm. So would they have prosecuted if the worker had now become completely dismembered?
Were they from a disadvantaged group?
Oh, no, that doesn't matter.
No, I'm just... Oh, no. I'm adding to the storytelling here. Bear with me. Single mum, an Indigenous First Nations person. Go through the list, right?
Non-English speaking.
A new apprentice.
Well, I think...
A new apprentice.
A non-English speaking background.
Right.
You're right.
I think it's easy to draw the line to say, if someone's been injured, we're not going to prosecute them. That's an easy place to draw a line. But if you don't draw it at that point, it becomes very complex.
Well, it's just that I always knew about that unofficial, invisible line.
Yes.
I always knew about that. And I guess this is where, for me, you know, it's a podcast and we're not giving advice. We're issues of morality, ethics and the law all, like a Venn diagram, intertwine and mesh. Nothing exists in a vacuum.
On the surface, at a high level, it speaks to me about what too many even regulatory materials and guidance materials or laymen tend to think, business managers think about human factors. Sometimes the term is used, the human factor, is like, oh, the pain in the ass humans that don't do the right thing.
Yeah.
Right? That's not what that's... only looking at errors and error trends. And I get so tired with that interpretation of the term of human factors. Mm. And Stephen Sharrock is a researcher and a practitioner in the UK, and he talks about different... types of human factors. So the first one is, that human factor. So they're upset at this human factor who made a mistake despite attending training without any appreciation of neuroscience, cognitive science, of how people think and behave, and that we all have times where you have absent-minded activities or you may be distracted and we don't know what other workload pressures were there. Right? And then there's the human factor of, well, understanding the nature of humans, like how our fingers operate with a palmar grasp versus a pincer grasp versus a cylindrical grasp, or how our peripheral vision works versus our focal vision. You start understanding the real nature of human mechanics, thinking, emotion trends, physical capabilities, anthropometrics and populations of workers, right? That's the second sort of human factor. And then there's the factors affecting humans or impacting humans, and that might be what you think of, like, maybe in an hygiene space, like, there are respirable dust that will affect populations of workers, like you talked about, or even psychosocial trends of harms in a business that might affect populations of workers, physical exposures, and then the human factor of thinking about work systems, like socio-technical systems is a long academic word, which just basically means how things operate in humans interacting with other humans and working with tools and in their environments and the entire system that's dynamic. That's also considering human factors and social systems, right? So there's a lot in human factors, but that case, were they prosecuting an individual who's accidentally, I assume, made a mistake and hurt himself, that's that to me sounds like thinking of human factors only as these error-prone people who get in the way and make problems.
Well, what you see a lot of, and it's mostly men, which are mostly the people injured, is that men know they shouldn't touch something, and yet they touch it. And in this case, he knew he shouldn't put his hand in the auger, but he still put his hand in.
He made a poor judgment decision, for whatever the motivating factor
is. I think there's a driver. I think there's a driver. People want to reach in and fix things.
Well, interesting. Did I ever tell you about the very first, I probably didn't, the very first case I would have told the students about two younger workers, it was a Friday, who would test each other to see who could stick their finger in the rod cutter. Yeah, I've got your attention now. So this is what would happen. So steel rods had to be cut. You can change. So it's a cutter, but the blade's inside. So you, and it was set to cut 10 centimetres, so 100 mil rods, right? That's it. So you'd shove this metre shaft of steel into the cutter, and it would cut it, and then it would spit out the rod into a bucket down the bottom. Now, it was fast. So the goal was who could stick their index finger in and pull it out before the cutter cut your finger off.
What a silly game.
Well, so this is how the game
TikTok
started.
Think about TikTok games all the time. So go ahead.
Think about this. So let's say worker one, your turn. All right, mate, my turn. So shoves it in. Woo!
Russian roulette.
Russian roulette, indeed. Russian roulette. Woo! Got it. Your turn. Okay. Woo! Got it. Your turn. Because it's a split second, he pulls his finger. Sorry, he pulls his hand out, and unfortunately, his finger rolled into the bucket.
Exactly.
And that's the end of the story.
There are TikTok stories of like how long you can hold your breath, and people die.
That's what I mean by that, right?
Like,
so, but here we are at work. So
the challenge.
That was quite a conundrum for me because I thought I've just walked into this work, this new line of work, and I'm thinking, what on earth? Anyway, cut long story short, it was no further action, so no further incident. But I wonder if you fast forward now 13 years, whether under the new regime, whether that would have been the prosecution of both of them. Of both of them. Unfortunately, one now is devoid of an index finger.
Well, it is the dilemma of employers.
Full amputation it was. No, it couldn't be returned. There was I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty sure he was an amputee. No, it was completely damaged. It was very sad.
So, I mean, but going back to your comment about the nature of humans, right, and needing to design for the nature of humans, and whether it's male, and you're looking at that cohort, a school that shall remain nameless, there was a child, how I know shall remain nameless, not my child, by the way, so, who, you know, in science class, three boys go, oh, there's a plug, there's a socket. What happens if we pick up this wire that's wet that's sitting inside the sink
and we
stick it in the socket, right? It burned, the whole wall's gone, right? And
well, they're lucky that's all that happened.
They're lucky that's all that happened. But when I tell this story, I've had grown men say, oh, yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
We all did that. We all wanted to see if we could make it burn. Mm. Right? Yeah. Well, so this is the nature of humans, that you need to think of what's possible when you're looking at your design strategy.
Well, people will do very silly things.
And, right.
The YouTube, there was a bit, so your YouTube, obviously, getting back to your TikTok, YouTube, apparently where you put something in a bottle of Coke, it experiments, and it causes the bottle.
Boom.
But, a science teacher, really passionate, and this is it wasn't my case, it was somebody else's, but they may have managed this one out, so they may not have gone to a prosecution, but unfortunately, for all the right reasons, the teacher, the science teacher, young, just got out of uni, just really wanted to impress the students. They're all grade nines. He thought he'd run this experiment on the oval too, because one, to avoid damage in the classroom. What he didn't anticipate, though, was that the bottle, when it went boom, fractured. It plastic, a Coca-Cola bottle, and unfortunately the shard of plastic injured one of the girls, either possibly the eye or face. Mm. Anyway, so for all the right reasons, wanting to educate people, it could all just go awry.
Mm.
And again, that's a worker-style prosecution. Yes. It was out of the school's control, but it just shows you that...
There's lots of science experiment cases.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you go down this path of now going for that worker, and even if they're injured or not, but especially if they're injured, it's complicated. It's a fine line. But before we end this prosecutorial episode, there is a sad story I wanted to mention, and it involved like $500,000 fine, but it's in the area of recreation. And that's something we talk a lot about in the episode.
Hot topic.
It always is. And indeed, we talked about it in the last season with respect to the ride in Movie World and so on. But this involved, for want of a better term, work at height, or should I say recreation at height. It was about a case involving a prosecution of a company and its directors, but it involved an indoor climbing gym in Australia.
Something close to your heart.
Something very close to my heart. Mm. And indeed, its two directors, because what flowed from the failure was a fatality.
Aww.
And it was a regular customer of the gym, somebody who had climbed these devices. This was an auto belayer. For those of you who don't know, you don't need a spotter, you don't need someone to hold the rope for you. This thing is the rope. So this machine, and I've been on one, they're fine. It's a training device, an auto belay device.
And a belayer does?
And a belayer does what this auto belayer does. So the belayer physically will stand on the ground, give you enough rope while you're climbing up, and you communicate with each other. So lead climbing, or any climbing involving rope, is a two-person sport. So for those of you who are not sure, just Google it or go watch it on YouTube.
And they're supposed to have your pulley and your protective systems, correct, fall harnesses, that kind of thing.
So you're wearing that. It
stops you falling rapidly to the ground.
Well, indeed, if you suddenly slip, then you've got your belayer at the bottom who's got the little greebre. It's it's a little aluminium device, which will put the brakes on.
Mm.
So, but this auto belayer does that. So human, and it's fantastic because...
Theoretically it does it.
Well, but unfortunately on this occasion, it failed.
Uh-oh.
And this poor fellow who was up... Let me just check my notes.
Now, I have read this case. It was in poor maintenance, wasn't it?
It was in terribly poor maintenance. So, 12 metres. So anything above 2 metres, as we all know, is a high-risk work activity pursuant to the regulation. So, but just to put it in perspective, this fellow was a regular. It's not some young kid, first time.
Part of the climbing family.
Part of the climbing community.
Experienced,
yes,
the community.
Family. 152 climbs prior to the incident. So someone who knows how to use this device. But you are right, Alan. Unfortunately, on this occasion, the lack of inspection and maintenance, all the usual, all the stuff we talk about here ad nauseum, all of those basic failures, overdue servicing, ignoring known issues, and that's something I mentioned to you over coffee when we had our iced latte. What did you have? A dirty something? What did you have? A dirty cheese?
Chai latte with only a quarter.
Sarah's never
quarter,
dirty.
Chai latte with almond milk and only a quarter strength of coffee. A little babyish.
But you called
mini
it something.
Dirty chai latte.
Dirty chai latte.
Bit
I
of
love
coffee,
that.
Just a little dash of coffee.
Anyway,
tiny.
Be that as it may. So all the tangible things such as servicing, the thing's a bit wonky, but this is the message that really hit home. It's something we mentioned during our dirty chai latte.
What was that?
Was ignoring known issues. And this is the humans coming in now. There was conversation around, oh, this thing's a little bit, it's a bit like the Nambour gate case. Oh, this gate's not working properly. We're worried it's going to fall down. So this type of scenario. Well,
So somebody noticed that the belayer, auto belayer, was a bit dodgy?
Well, I'll be specific. Prior to the incident, four separate entries were made. It was known that this thing's a little bit wonky. And this is the part that hurts me more than anything else.
Yes.
The known. Not the unknown.
So it's very foreseeable now.
And then it gets better. This is a litany. Inadequate staff. All the usual things that we talk about for the ingredients for a prosecution.
And just
failure to direct.
pause for a moment, because a recreation, a point of recreation, oftentimes you have businesses where people have done them because they're in love with the sport, but they might not be great business people, or the conditions are such that, you know, financially it's not always easy to make a lot of money in recreation businesses, right? It can be a hard slog.
Well, it's right on the border of a very hot topic, which is, does the work health, it doesn't matter which state, does the work health and safety legislation apply to recreational activities? Because it's, that climber was not engaged in work. That climber was engaged in a recreation.
Yeah, and they usually sign a lot of waivers, right? I understand. I'm just saying that the culture is such that I know that climbing at heights is at this risk, and I'm signing a disclaimer and blah, blah, blah. And the business owner, as like any other industry in small to medium businesses, if it's a small to medium business, often they're not experts in work health safety law. Goodness.
Well,
right?
I'm going to be bold here and say,
I know that still have obligations. I get that. I'm just talking about the nature of what we're dealing with, right?
So if I'm bold for a second and say most recreational activities involve taking on risk. In fact, you're welcoming the risk.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's why you go on a roller coaster.
I know you've said that before, and it's perfect. It resonates. For me, though, I see it through a strict lens of work. So even though the deceased is not a worker, they certainly are an other, pursuant to Section 19.2. They're an other. It's the plant. I don't see it as an auto belayer. I see it as a machine, whether whether it's a spinning wheel in a factory, or whether it's a
plant,
a tumbler,
and tooling. Plant and tooling of the work.
A
right?
knife is not a knife. It's an item of plant. That brim of the beach cafe style umbrella.
A knife is a piece of plant. Now that's a controversial statement to make.
No, nope. Equipment I'm prepared to and say tooling. It. And I've particularised it with success. I say a knife or an item of plant, namely a blah blah knife, and I'll go to the serial number where avoid defence lawyers such as yourself from nitpicking. I don't know. And then I say, refer to photograph, blah blah. But my point is, or I'll bring it into court and say, here's the knife. So it's sad, because I think for something like that, it is the mindset, Alan. You're right. Recreation, it's fun, but really. And many of these gyms, they're in warehouses, they're in factory settings. So the aesthetic is that of work. And yes, it is fun. We're going to have a good climb, but we're now elevating higher, higher, higher. And that item of plant has failed you, whether it's a scissor lift or whether it's an auto belay. But interestingly, as a result of this case, my understanding is pretty much all gyms around Australia, and we'll end it with this, have removed them.
Oh, they're no longer using automated ones?
They've all been spooked.
Right.
Because, so notwithstanding that they may have maintained theirs, notwithstanding that theirs were in repair, this is distinguishable.
It's just easier to use human beings than use a machine.
It appears so. It appears that will be our fait accompli. I don't know. But the thing is, I didn't expect that's what would happen. I mean, my own research has...
What was the charge? Was it reckless or was it...
No, Section 32.
That's interesting itself.
But what was interesting was the fine, given the full cooperation and you know, full... Imagine the shock. I mean, this is a community. Climbing community. So the fine was roughly around, all up, is about $500,000, because each director was fined about 70 or 80 grand plus 300 thereabouts for the entity. So $500,000.
That is a massive fine.
Huge.
For wall climbing.
Well,
and a fatality massive. Though.
But
fatality.
You're looking at 12 metres.
Did it send the business bust?
I don't know, because this one's pretty much hot off the press, but how can it not hurt a business's cash flow?
Like, it wouldn't survive.
You know.
Yeah.
No.
So it's just another sad reminder that whether it is a fun park or whether it's a fun gym or whether it's a water or whatever recreational activity, if you look at it at the lens of a work. I mean, we've got recreational, snorkeling and diving and other. So we see this through the lens of work.
And then think of the harm. Obviously the customer died, but all the workers who were there that
Correct.
Day and the trauma they experienced. And so,
yeah,
if you, and then if you
yeah,
add the
yeah,
lens
that's right,
of,
that's right.
you have the pure physical harm that's occurred, yeah. but then this, because we've been talking a lot about psychosocial hazard exposures, and again, in the regulations and the amendment is about the design or management of work, the work environment, the plant at a workplace, which is the technologies, and the workplace interactions or behaviors. And I always talk about those four areas, and the change management and integration strategies in your business are the ones that you must follow as a causational pathway for harm, right? So these are the pathways, and that's what you're talking about. Now, there's and if you expand this to the ecosystem, there could be claims from many other people in this little ecosystem.
Yeah, I think you're right. So this is where I – so for me, it's it is – I just see it as – so that the pool case I gave last season with the poor girl being struck on the head on the last day of school, yes, it could be one of those, the beach-style, cafe-style umbrellas, or it could simply be – big heavy item of plant, and I always and that's how I look at it.
Technologies.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah, and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe, and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases, and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.